Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Thursday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be, up and down the Stand in the Gap Radio Network. We thank you so very, very much for the pleasure of your company, and along with David Kistler and Sam Rohr, I am Gary Dahl, and we are glad that you are there as well, because as I've so often said, a radio program would not be much of a radio program without listeners, and so we're very, very delighted to have you with us. Today, coming in on the second segment, we're going to be having with us Scott Lively, who is the founder and president of Scott Lively Ministries. He's an attorney, a pastor, an author, a public speaker, a missionary, an international human rights consultant, and an advocate for the biblical position regarding homosexuality. And we're going to be basically having a general discussion on homosexuality and the effect that it has on the church specifically and on society in general. So you might want to make sure that you stay tuned for that part of our discussion. That will be coming up around 18 minutes after the hour, and we'll look forward to that particular discussion as well, and trust that you can stay tuned. Anyway, Sam and Dave, appears as though the reports have come out concerning the Democratic debate on CNN on Tuesday night, and it looks like they registered something like 15.3 million viewers. Keep in mind, fellows, that the first Republican debate registered nearly 25 million viewers. And I guess they're all trying to figure out why there was such a drop. I don't know. Sam, do you have any idea as to why the Democratic debate was more boring than the Republican?
You're asking two different questions, Gary.
Oh, okay.
Perhaps it was anticipated to be boring, and that's why nobody's there. You know, but I think realistically, we can make a lot of humor about this, but I think in reality, what you have is that increasingly those who vote Democratic are far less concerned about substance than they are about just doing effectively what they've been told. On the other hand, if there are those that still look for substance, they certainly wouldn't have tuned in because they didn't expect it and they didn't get it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that could very well be. And I don't know how many people I heard say they tuned in, but they didn't stay. You know, they tuned
that's
out pretty
my point.
Quickly.
Yeah, that's right.
Because there wasn't too much spoken about there. It's interesting, Dave. I'm hearing different statistics that Donald Trump's tweets, I'll tell you what, I've heard everything from 60 to 160,000 followers. It was Donald Trump earlier this morning I heard say 160,000. I don't know, but it could very well be that CNN had a lot of viewers because they started out with Trump and then went over to watch CNN. I mean, maybe he contributed to their audience size.
Well, you know, Gary, I think I heard him say the exact same thing, that he thought he had somewhere around 160,000 people following him, or additional new people following him as a result of his tweets throughout the course of the debate evening. But Gary, I think what Sam said probably is the backbone of why that there were less viewers. But it could also be this, because of the nature of the Republican side of the thing, there's more people on the stage, there are more varying personalities on the stage. I think people thought, and again this goes back to what Sam said, style not substance, they're expecting to see fireworks because it is the GOP debate, and so they just tune in to see that. And then of course you've got Donald Trump on the stage and people tune in to see him because he is entertaining, if nothing less.
And you know what? He just does not die. He keeps going and going and going, Sam. No matter what, his ratings are still up there.
Gary, you are correct. You know, I just got off the phone just a few minutes before the program here, talking with some leading folks here in the city of Philadelphia. And and in that conversation, it was told to me very, very clearly that within the black community there in Philadelphia, but increasing across the country, that there is a heavy, heavy support level for Donald Trump from within the black community, and most of the black community has been voting Democrat. And so when you say there's something there that seems to not want to quit relative to Trump, there are some things such as that that are playing into some of these things that cross heretofore historic boundaries that have been difficult to cross. He seems to, for one or more reason, to be crossing them. So that's part of the real intriguing aspect of what Trump is bringing to this, and I think helps to increase the followership and those who are following his tweets.
Well, it just remains to be seen what we'll be looking at next year this time, should the Lord tarry. On another subject, Dave, we've been hearing throughout the course of the day that President Obama is going to decide to keep some troops in Afghanistan beyond 2016, which means that he really is not keeping one of his promises that when he ran, he said he was going to just completely remove all troops. The last figure I got is that he wants to maintain about 9,800 troops throughout 2015 and 2016, and then have it go down to about 5,500 troops in 2017 over there in Afghanistan. I'm wondering, do you think that this is tied into the growth of the Taliban and Al-Qaeda and ISIS that maybe he didn't anticipate early on?
Well, Gary, I think absolutely. In fact, I've heard several military experts say this, that 9,800 troops is not near enough for us to accomplish what really needs to be done over there. So, yes, Gary, I think absolutely. The Taliban has just bided their time. I mean, this was a topic of discussion when the drawdown of troops was first mentioned, that they would just bide their time. And once they were aware that troops were going to be leaving, then they would rise back to strength and to a position of superiority there in Afghanistan. And I think that's exactly what's happened. We have telegraphed, to use sports terminology, what we were going to do. And you never do that if you want to win militarily or on the athletic field. And the president has telegraphed everything. And now he's realizing, because the pressure is overwhelming coming from those advisors, they're saying, Mr. President, we have a problem here because of what you've done. We never should have drawn down in the first place. But yes, it's going to be a broken promise. It's going to be fodder for the 2016 elections, and it should be.
And so, Sam, you can say that it's really a failure in the Obama policy, if there ever was
such a policy. Well, the entire foreign policy, I'm going to say plan, there is no plan.
There is no policy.
entire foreign policy of this administration has been broken and failed. I think partly what's involved in it is that as he's been trying to withdraw there, the Taliban has been demonstrating a great amount of strength, obviously to attack some of our people and kill some of our folks there. Should never have happened. That you're really looking at giving over Afghanistan totally back to Taliban, and I say back into Russia's hands, but also at the same time, down in the South China Sea, we need to watch this very carefully. China today issued a warning to the United States to make sure our ships are staying out of where they have built some of their islands, or they will attack our ships. Between Russia and the Middle East and China and Afghanistan, folks, we can't afford to move any more troops out of anywhere lest we give up the whole world to the enemy.
And Russia is growing in its influence on the whole wide world. Ladies and gentlemen, here comes the bear from the north. How about it? Well, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we'll have with us, as I said, Scott Lively, and we'll be talking about various subjects, particularly as it relates to homosexuality. So don't you go away. We will be back with more right after this. Stay tuned.
As Christian financial advisors, we hold a biblical worldview and teach stewardship as a lifestyle. For over 30 years, we have taught families how to apply God's Word to our daily lives. Our three-day stewardship lifestyle seminars are held in Bible-teaching churches across America. We go far beyond basic budgeting and dig into the meat of Scripture. We believe that principle without application often lead to frustration. This is Roy Russell with the Life Financial Group in Douglasville. We are just west of Pottstown on Route 422. Visit our website or read our weekly blog at thelifegroup.org. There you'll find videos and PowerPoints for our ministry to the local church.
In addition to investing and actively managing over $100 million, we prepare hundreds of tax returns for believers around the area. Come in for a second opinion and see how a biblical worldview can positively affect your investing and financial planning. Call us at 610-385-4500. That's 385-4500, or on the web at thelifegroup.org.
Securities offered through Genius Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
In an era when liberal judges have taken license to strike down properly passed laws, it's interesting to look at the views of James Madison, the father of the Constitution, who wrote on this day, October 15, 1788, "As the courts are generally the last in making the decision, it results to them, by refusing or not refusing to execute a law, to stamp it with its final character. This makes the judiciary department paramount, in fact, to the legislature, which never was intended and can never be proper."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Hey, Grandma, I'm confused. We're reading an article the New York Times wrote in 1999 in my Common Core book about the fall of the Berlin Wall. Didn't you tell me Ronald Reagan was mostly responsible for the fall of the Soviet Union?
Well, yes, I did, and we were all so proud.
Well, right here in the article, it says Mikhail Gorbachev did that. When I told them I thought it was Ronald Reagan, my teacher said no, that he was a president then, but he was just a good salesman. It was Gorbachev who was the great reformer who transformed the world. Boy, I'm glad they talked about that, because I would have gotten it wrong on the test.
Oh, honey, that was just an article from an old biased newspaper. I was there, and you can trust me. Oh, what are they going to teach you next? These Common Core lessons are awful.
Call your representatives now and ask them to stop the national takeover of education called Common Core. Go to PARestoringEducation.org or call Richard at 484-678-2236. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap today. And I do want to encourage you, as I do almost on every radio program, to go to our Stand in the Gap radio website. That's at www.standinthegapradio.com, because there you can not only learn about your hosts on this program, but you can correspond with us. There's the opportunity for you to communicate with us from there if you would like to do so. If you'd like to drop us a note, and certainly we'd appreciate that if you would do that. But also at that particular site, if you happen to be away from the radio station that you normally listen to and the city that you're visiting does not have Stand in the Gap radio on one of their stations, while you can listen to us by way of the internet. Of course, what you see there is a link to our anchor station in Philadelphia, WFYL. So I encourage you to go there regularly, www.standinthegapradio.com, and correspond with us, communicate with us. We look forward to hearing from you. Well, we want to welcome to Stand in the Gap today Mr. Scott Lively. He's the founder and president of Scott Lively Ministries. He's an attorney, a pastor, an author, a public speaker, a missionary, an international human rights consultant, an advocate for the biblical position regarding homosexuality, and a Christian, by the way. And Scott, welcome to Stand in the Gap today.
Oh, it's my great pleasure.
And I want to make a public apology. A while back, a mutual friend of ours, Diane Gramley, called me and asked if Scott could be on at a certain date, which happened to be this past Monday. And I said, sure, why not, and so forth and so on. And as things began to develop, why, I realized that I double scheduled, somebody else was scheduled to be on, and I forgot all about it until like 10 o'clock Monday morning when, Scott, you were on your way to the studio, and I said, uh-oh, can't happen. So I felt ashamed, I felt silly, I felt bad. I want to publicly ask you for your forgiveness.
Well, you know, Pastor, I operate under the sovereignty of God. And there are no accidents in his universe. I have no anxiety or regrets in just simply letting him pick my schedule, whatever that might be. His timing is always perfect. And so, you know, there is no problem with that whatsoever. And, you know, I think perhaps there's someone listening today that wouldn't have been able to listen on Monday. And they may be, you never know why God does what he does. You know that it's always for our best.
Well, it is, and I appreciate your graciousness and your kindness, but it was, and I agree with you, God's sovereignty is there. We can't deny that, and we do know that he works all things together for his glory and for our good, and we can just depend upon that. Amen. Anyway, Scott, as we begin our discussion here, why don't you share just a little bit with our audience what your ministry really is all about?
Well, I have been for 25 years standing for the truth of the Bible regarding sexuality, primarily homosexuality, in the face of a global LGBT agenda that the church really has only become aware of in the past 20 years or so, but it's been going for a very long time. It's really where the culture war originates in this this particular battle. The whole culture war really is a conflict between homosexual activists and Christians. And I had my eyes open to this very early. I was an alcoholic and a drug addict for 16 years. I surrendered my life to Christ in 1986. He led me into a ministry of standing for his truth. And very early in that process, he showed me the significance of this. And I've been on the case for 25 years.
Well, Scott, we sure do appreciate that. I know you could share a whole lot more. This is Sam, and again, I welcome you on
Hi,
the
Sam.
Program. Scott, we have a lot of places we can go, but let me just start with here. On the, you referenced the broader homosexual agenda, LGBT agenda. Really, it's going on around the world. I wanted you to speak to how extensively you have found it to be a worldwide strategy, and I'll seed that with one statement, and that is Dave and I on the program on Tuesday shared a letter that we've got that we were aware of that came in our hands, signed on congressional letterhead, signed by 40 Democratic congressmen, and it was sent to the Deputy Speaker of the Parliament in the nation of Ukraine. Who, if anybody's watching there, knows that they are in the midst of working on a new constitution. Everybody's trying to influence it. But this group specifically urged them and told them to incorporate within their constitution special rights for LGBT preferential people and same-sex marriage. So therefore, yeah. as we said that, this is not just something we're seeing here in the United States. This is worldwide. So speak to that and just kind of put that whole thing in perspective, if you could, please.
Well, I have been to 40 different countries in the world, many of them as a Christian social activist. I noticed, I recognized years ago that we were losing the battle quite rapidly here in the U.S., and I started traveling to morally conservative Christian-based countries around the world to warn them of what was coming and to try to urge them to take positions that would protect them from this agenda. In fact, I'm being sued for crimes against humanity in U.S. federal court by a homosexual group in Uganda that blames me for the homosexual bill that was far too harsh. I didn't advocate for. But I've been I did a 50-city tour of the former Soviet Union with that message. I've been all over Eastern Europe, Europe itself, this is not an American problem. This is a global problem. It's a spiritual problem more than anything else. It's a direct assault on the authority of the Bible. And just like Balaam taught Balak to take down the Hebrews by getting them involved in sexual immorality, that's what the whole sexual revolution internationally is about, destroying the Christian infrastructure of the Western world.
Scott, this is Dave Kistler, and I just want to say how much we appreciate you being on and your consistent and clear stand for the teaching of the Word of God. Let me just mention something that happened on October the 10th. It's a little off topic, but it relates to a question I want to ask. In the city of Cleveland, Ohio, there is a clinic. It's a reproductive clinic, and a group of rabbis and ministers, primarily United Methodist ministers, met outside that abortion clinic and prayed a prayer of blessing over that clinic. And this is literally the prayer that was prayed by Reverend Laura Young, who is herself a United Methodist. And let me just quote it. "Bless this building. May its walls stand strong against the onslaught of shame thrown against it. May it be a beacon of hope for those whose needs it services." Now, my point is this, and my question is this. They're praying for blessing on a place that is committing an atrocity, something that God is clearly against, the shedding of the most innocent of blood among us. And yet the thing that they're calling sinful is the shame that, quote unquote, Christians are throwing toward that facility by trying to encourage women not to go in and have an abortion. Simultaneous with this, Scott, there seems to be this softening on the part of many within the Christian community toward homosexuality, and those like yourself that speak against it, that speak biblically with reference to it, are the ones that are considered the sinners. I'd love for you to speak to that issue and just talk about that briefly.
Well, that's right. We are dealing with a very devious adversary, that evil is good and good is evil. Satan has always followed this strategy. He just happens to be more successful in America in the past few years than he ever was. Because we have turned away from him. 1947, the U.S. Supreme Court majority opinion, Everson versus Board of Education, took America off the foundation of the Bible and set it on secular humanism. That was the case that that established Jefferson's separation of church and state metaphor as the constitutional law of the land. It said that all religions are equal, that Jesus Christ and the Bible were no longer superior to the competitive religious claimants, and we have been in decline and in judgment ever since then. In 1961, the same Supreme Court Justice Hugo Black wrote the majority opinion in Torcaso v. Watkins, which declared atheism to be religion equal with belief in God, and that's what empowered all the militant atheists in the country to attack Christianity in public life. It's not stopped since that time. That's why we lost prayer in the public schools in 63, and that's why all of this, of these atrocities are taking place right now, and we have not come anywhere near the bottom of the pit that we are plunging into. It's going to get much worse from this, especially after the Obergefell decision that established homosexual marriage.
Well, we agree with you 100% on that, Scott, and ladies and gentlemen, we have with us today Scott Lively, who, of course, is a part of the founder and president of Scott Lively Ministries. And we're going to continue our discussion on homosexuality and its effect on the church and society in general when we come back. We must take this break. Don't you go too far away. We will be back in about 3 minutes as we continue with this Thursday edition of Stand in the Gap Today from the American Pastors Network.
Kings or Parliament could not give the rights essential to happiness. We claim them from a higher source, from the King of Kings and Lord of all the earth. They are not annexed to us by parchments and seals. They are created in us by the decrees of providence which establish the law of our nature. They are born with us, exist with us, and cannot be taken from us by any human power without taking our lives. A quote from John Dickinson, 1804.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. President Obama now plans to leave American troops in Afghanistan past his time in office, 5,500 going into 2017.
This decision is not disappointing. Continually, my goal has been to make sure that we give every opportunity for Afghanistan to succeed while we're still making sure that we're meeting our core missions.
Counterterrorism and training and assisting Afghan forces. The plan was to withdraw more troops next year, leaving an embassy presence beyond that. The South African Olympic sprinter Oscar Pistorius is released into house arrest next Tuesday.
He will have served 1 year for killing Reeva Steenkamp. Pistorius may not be living in his uncle's three-story luxury mansion for long, though, as an appeal to have his sentence replaced with one of murder will be heard less than 3 weeks from now.
Fox News Radio's Paul Tilsley in Johannesburg. Fox News. We report. You decide.
Working for your liberty right here in Philadelphia. Broadcasting freedom shining light throughout the tri-state area. Streaming freedom shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station. WFYN.
Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School is an online public school for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Founded in 2004, our mission is to have a school where children can see the world, develop character, promote independence, and become lifelong learners. We teach our students to be leaders, thinkers, and scientists. They are taught to be logical and critical in thinking. Some of our classical teaching methods range from online class lectures to debates to Socratic teaching, which develops the art of speaking and writing. We encourage our students to be well-rounded by participating in sports, the arts, and their communities. Your child can benefit from this style of innovative education. Visit us at palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and Stand in the Gap Today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and along with Sam Rohr and David Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl. We are talking today with Scott Lively, who is the founder and president of Scott Lively Ministries. And Scott, it's a delight to have you with us today. We're talking about homosexuality and how it is a global situation. It's a spiritual situation. And, you know, one of the things that we've been able to observe is that the United States government, in relationship to other particular countries, has really told them that if they want aid from us, then they must have a friendly relationship with the whole concept of homosexuality. And, you know, that just goes to show you how the morality of this administration that we have down in Washington, D.C., has really turned away from the Word of God and from the authority of Scripture, as you indicated in the first segment of your time with us. But, you know, I was interested in learning that a while ago you had a very serious run-in over this homosexual issue with John McCain. And I'm just interested in hearing what that run-in was all about. And I, you know, he's one of the establishment Republicans and one that, well, as far as we're concerned, is going a little far left. But just share with our audience what that run-in was all about, if you don't mind, Scott.
Well, in back in the early 90s, we ran a pro-life third-party candidate against the pro-abortion Republican in Oregon. And the Republican National Committee, in order to get us to agree not to do it again, gave us a promise. They said that we could have a Republican senator come out to speak at one of our events in exchange for not doing that again. And we accepted that. And we held a banquet in Portland, Oregon, invited everybody from the state. It was a great function. And they sent John McCain. And at that time, you know, we were running a ballot measure that was opposing special rights for homosexuals, and John McCain was the keynote speaker for that banquet. And he came into our banquet, and he chewed out everybody in that audience for discriminating against homosexuals. It was the worst stab in the back that I've experienced from any political candidate. And I was the communications director for the Oregon Citizens Alliance at the time. I had to follow him on the stage. And I had to try to undo the damage that he had done to us at that point. And I have never trusted him since then. He's a snake in the grass as far as I'm concerned. And even when after he ran for president, you know, the man who ran his campaign, Steve Schmidt, went on to work for the ACLU. He was hired by the ACLU to promote homosexual marriage inside the GOP, and it was very successful at that. So McCain has always been associated with taking down Christianity inside the GOP, especially as it relates to family issues, and he's not to be trusted. I dearly hope that that someone will be able to remove him in a primary in the next election.
Scott, let me just pick up on that a little bit further to say, you know, as you said there, the movement has in some cases put individuals within the structure to kind of dig it out from the inside, be the Republicans or whoever. Let me go a little bit more to strategy on that. In many respects, there seems to be something that fuels the aggressiveness, the intimidation impacted by this movement on those in office, as well as the public generally, that seems to go beyond the fact of it's a quote-unquote sexual preference. What strategies have you find as being used by this movement to so intimidate those who are in office and the public generally that, you know, to get them to embrace it? What's actually happening that makes their argument seeming to have so much fuel behind it?
Well, this is cultural Marxism. Goes all the way back to Herbert Marcuse of the Frankfurt School. You know, people write this stuff down and research this yourself after the show's over. Herbert Marcuse, M-A-R-C-U-S-E, the Frankfurt School, cultural Marxism. He came to the U.S. When Hitler was coming to power. He was a darling of the American intelligentsia. His goal to take down America and so that the Marxists could replace it with a socialist utopia was embraced by the whole left. This guy was the teacher of Saul Alinsky. He railed against what he called the repressive order of procreative sexuality and said the solution was to eliminate the monogamic and patriarchal family, which just means monogamy and male headship. And he was very successful with that. In 1969, June 28th, the homosexual movement abandoned its previous goal of tolerance and embraced Marcusean radicalism, and that became their core philosophy, And they began at that point to try to take control of all the cultural institutions, not just in this country, but in every other country that they have infiltrated. And they began in 73 taking down the American Psychiatric Association, and just 40 years, using Marxist tactics, they took down every single secular opponent in the United States, ending with the Boy Scouts of America in 2013, and now they're focused on the church.
Scott, this is Dave again. Let me ask you two questions. I found what you just said to be incredibly interesting and powerful, and I sure hope our listeners took note of what you just said, that that was a game plan that was mapped out well ahead of time, and they have operated that game plan masterfully. Within the GOP, do you see any serious kickback as we approach the 2016 election to this attempt by McCain and others to make homosexuality accepted in the norm within the GOP? And then secondly, I'm just curious as to your take on this, because President Obama has been the most rabid supporter of the homosexual agenda. Of course, when he initially ran for his first term, he said he was against or supporter of traditional marriage, et cetera, et cetera. And then he's come out and
that was a lie.
Yes, absolutely. And now he's begun rapidly revealing who he is.
Yeah, this is his priority. This is Obama's priority globally.
Why is that, though, Scott? Is my question. What is it that drives him to be so rabid
himself.
About this?
I think Mr. Obama is himself a homosexual. If you go to WorldNet Daily, Jerome Corsi has an article that outlines all the evidence regarding Mr. Obama's purported homosexuality. It's very persuasive. I've always believed it. When I read that article, it convinced me. But even if he isn't, this is the most pro-homosexual public figure ever that America has put forth on an international scale. He has made the advancement of the LGBT agenda the priority of the U.S. State Department all over the mm-hmm. world. This isn't a minor thing. This is like the top of the list globally. And they are taking down resistance everywhere in the world. They're using the U.S. aid money. They're using threats. A Jamaican pastor came to Springfield, where I have my little mission church there in the inner city. He said that Obama had gone to Jamaica, and he told the Jamaicans that unless they embraced gay marriage, that the U.S. and Canada would stop issuing work permits to Jamaicans. And this is the kind of arm twisting that's going on everywhere, because this is the priority agenda for Mr. Obama. In fact,
Gary,
I'll even go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I'm sorry, Scott. I just wanted to say this, Gary, Sam. It's now out there on the table. Scott, this that you just said has been relayed to us from a number of places about the president's proclivities sexually. We have not talked about it this directly on the program, but you are by no means, Scott, by no means the first person to mention that. So I was asking somewhat rhetorically, hoping you would go that direction and maybe say it because of your knowledge.
I'm bold, I tell you.
Well, we appreciate your boldness, Scott. But gentlemen, this there has to be a motivation behind this for the president to take this on and make it the goal of his administration.
Dave, so let me ask you, Scott, would you say that we have an Islamic homosexual here?
Well, I believe he's a Sunni Muslim. And I think that's what's I believe that, but I think he's a Muslim by sort of temperament. I don't think he's certainly not practicing,
right.
But he's certainly not a Christian, at least not by the fruit of his life.
Right.
He's Antichrist by the fruit of his life, and we are suffering the end stages of cultural Marxist takeover of America. You know, we supposedly still have a majority of Christians in this country, but there are no strong, hardcore, Bible-believing, Bible worldview Christians sitting in any of this real seats of power. No university presidents, no heads of big corporate media. These are all held by cultural Marxists, all the way down to the kindergarten level. Kindergarten teachers, you know, we still have Christians scattered through the lower levels. And maybe a smattering, the higher you go, the fewer there are. But we've been taken over. We're under occupation by cultural Marxists, and they are systematically dismantling at an increasing rate the Christian infrastructure of America and transporting all this to foreign countries.
You know, unfortunately, we are out of time. Let me just ask you, Scott, can you stay for another 15 minutes, or must you go?
No, I'd love to, yeah.
Okay, and because I think we've got a few more questions we'd like to ask you, if it's okay with you. And, of
My
course,
pleasure.
You know, for sure, before you leave the air, I'd like for you to inform our listeners about your booklet on Redeeming the Rainbow. If
I'll
you wouldn't
that,
mind
yeah.
talking about that when
yeah.
we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Scott Lively, who is the founder and president of Scott Lively Ministries. He has said he'd be with us for another segment, so we'll be back with him and more right after this.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
This is Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, and I'm thrilled to announce that BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, has come alongside APN as a national sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. Together, we share a commitment to further a true biblical worldview and to follow Jesus' command to be salt and light to the culture. BJU Press provides academically sound educational materials designed to fully equip children for college and the workplace. As postmodern culture seeks to eliminate God from the classroom, BJU Press integrates biblical truth into curricula that's accurate, dependable, and exceeds all national academic standards. APN welcomes BJU Press as a national partner and sponsor of Stand in the Gap today. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. Again, we at APM welcomes BJU Press as a national partner as together we work to instill Christian values in the generations to follow.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. You probably have never heard of Chief Kelvin Cochran, but if you get the opportunity to hear him speak, you won't forget him or what he said. We're hosting Chief Cochran at our Friends of the Family Banquet in Hershey on October 30th, because he exemplifies the attacks that are coming against the Christian faith in America today and how to respond. Chief Cochran served as the top firefighting official in America and as the chief for the Atlanta Fire Department until he was fired for writing a Bible study book on his own time and with permission from his superiors. But that book included a page that extolled biblical sexual morals, and for that he lost his job. Come hear his amazing testimony of faith, as well as our keynote speaker, Eric Metaxas, on Friday, October 30th in Hershey. Details are at dinnerwiththefamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
Scripture gives us perhaps the greatest example of fire-tested faith in the lives of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their faith was real. The lesson for us today is real. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. When confronted with a national law commanding them to fall down and worship an idol or be killed, these government officials decided to do what every government official and citizen should do. They respectfully disobeyed the evil law and obeyed God's higher law. To the king they said, "O king, we cannot obey your command. We serve God, the king above all kings. While we don't know if he'll save us from your hand, we know he can, and we're willing to die before we bow." Their decision was predetermined and unchanging. Their faith in God was unmovable. Their commitment to obedience was greater than their fear of death. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network asking you, is your faith only good when times are good, or will it take you through the fire?
Join the Pennsylvania Pastors Network at papastors.net. You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and we have with us Scott Lively, who is founder and president of Scott Lively Ministries. And Scott, before we end the program, number one, thank you for being willing to stay on for this last segment. But I would also like to ask you, if you would please, to give our listeners your contact information. And along with that, before we go to Sam, who has a question he'd like to ask, share with us a little bit about your book entitled Redeeming the Rainbow, if you would please.
Well, I can answer both those questions at once, because the way to contact me and the way to get information about that book is at defendthefamily.com. Defendthefamily.com, you just click on the book cover and you can download the book for free. It's actually my doctoral thesis for my my PhD, and which I reworked and reformatted as a textbook on understanding the homosexual issue, how it is accomplished, the things it's accomplished, and how to effectively oppose it. It's all in one book. Everything I learned in 20 years, the first 20 years of fighting this battle, boiled down in an easy-to-read, easy-to-use format. It's in PDF, completely free. You can download it. You can send it to everybody that you know. And I urge you to do that, to bring people up to speed on the issue.
And it is a very good book that I've read it. It's Redeeming the Rainbow, and you can get that at defendthefamily.com. That, of course, is where you can also get in contact with Scott Lively. Sam, you have a question.
Well, I do, Gary. Scott, thank you for everything that you've been saying here. You made that very clear statement, and we've emphasized it. You said, all right, President Obama is a homosexual. His actions prove it, and this is the most aggressive element of his entire policy. Now, I'm going to ask you this very question here, and that's this. Uh-huh. It's the first time that we've had a president who is the individual in charge of enforcement of the laws of this nation, actually leading in the opposite direction to our Constitution, leading in opposition to God's moral law. Many say this is a political, just a difference of opinion on this matter of same-sex marriage and traditional marriage, but I think it goes a whole lot deeper than that. I want to ask you this question. What is our nation actually facing from God's perspective because this issue, which he's clear about, has risen to the point where it is a premier agenda item for our national leaders, even being felt around the world? This is more than just a simple minor thing. What is really at stake for us as a nation because this is happening?
Well, I think this is part of the judgment itself. This isn't going to bring judgment. This is part of judgment.
There you go.
when a nation has succumbed to this kind of insanity, really, which we're talking about is insanity, that is now dominating the entire popular culture, that is emanating from the White House, the leftist media is 100% behind it, all of our children are being conformed to this bizarre worldview, this is judgment. There's only a remnant left of believers in the country who have a genuine biblical worldview, and we still have something of a Christian infrastructure left, because we were so solidly a Christian country, it's just taking them a long time to dismantle it. But now they've reached the end of the process, and it's moving very, very rapidly, and I think we're going to start to see America, things happening in America that look like the paganism of the ancient world. You know, we've taken all of the security and prosperity that America has enjoyed for granted, but all those things only we were only blessed with them because our Christian forebears lived Christian lives, and they infused our whole culture with Christianity. We were a God-fearing nation. We're toward the end of that now, and Mr. Obama simply represents what we deserve as a country for, you know, we no longer hold Jesus Christ up. We've even retreated to something we still think is a very good thing, religious liberty. Religious liberty is a lie. Religious liberty is promoting the idea that all the religions are equal. They're not equal. Jesus Christ is Lord. He's sovereign. And the other religions are lies that contradict the truth of the Bible.
Scott, you know, I would love to have you on for an entire program just to talk about that one topic. The statement you just made, all religions are not equal, and certainly it was not considered so by our founders. Let me ask you just two questions, and I'd love for you to just briefly mention how you felt, what you experienced in your own heart when you saw, following the June decision at the High Court, you saw the rainbow colors broadcast up on the White House. I'd love to know just briefly what you felt and what you thought when you saw that. But more importantly, what I'd love for you to answer is this. Have we lost this battle, or is there a way that this entire agenda can be stopped and turned around? And if so, what must the church do for this thing to be turned around?
Yeah, well, I knew. I'm as a constitutional lawyer and as a Christian social activist for many years, I knew as soon as the Supreme Court took this case that it was a foregone conclusion, and I was not surprised by the rainbow colors at the White House. I had done my grieving process all the way back in March and April, frankly, and so it was just, I just said, you know, I told you so. But in terms of the second question, I forgot it now.
What can we do? Have we lost the battle, or what can we do?
We've reached the Nineveh stage, right? The only way to turn things around when they've gone this far down the hill is widespread, sincere repentance. The recipe is 2 Chronicles 7:14, but you know, frankly, I just don't see it in the country. I think that I see collapse coming right now. We're going to experience very severe consequences for the things that we're doing. However, if we did turn from wickedness sincerely, like Nineveh did, and repented before God, I think he would stay his hand. But anything short of that is not enough. Remember what happened with Jerusalem when Manasseh, went and pushed beyond the line that God would not tolerate. He said, "I will wipe Jerusalem like a dish." And it was four generations of people lived under that death sentence until God finally brought Nebuchadnezzar down, and he did what he said. He completed. He carried out the sentence that he had passed on Manasseh. And I think that's where we are right now. We're under a death sentence because we rejected God, and the only thing that could stay his hand is widespread, sincere repentance in sackcloth and ashes.
Spot on,
well,
Scott.
You know, that's
spot
exactly
on, my friend.
That's exactly what it's going to take. Scott Lively, I want to thank you so very, very much on behalf of Dave and Sam for being with us today. And maybe we can have you back sometime in the near future. And ladies and gentlemen, I would encourage you to go to defendthefamily.com. That's defendthefamily.com. And there you can get Scott's book, Redeeming the Rainbow. Scott, thank you very much for being with us today.
And your audience.
You're quite welcome. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a 23-hour break, but the Lord willing, we will be back with you again on Friday. That's tomorrow. Until then, on behalf of Sam Rohr and David Kistler, I'm Gary Dull saying, stand in the gap for faith and freedom. Keep looking up, for we know the best is yet to come.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler, brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.